Good morning. You're listening to Napa's KVON 1440 AM radio on your radio dial, or you can stream live on kvon.com. This is the Farmers Fresh Show, sponsored by American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture, and featuring the wonderful St. Helena Farmers Market. My name is Wendy Strawn. I'm the board president of the market, and this is our first show, and we are truly delighted to be here. I have three very special guests with me today. I have Laddie Hall from the Long Meadow Ranch. Laddie is a long-serving board member and vendor at the market. The man who makes it all happen, we have Ed Smith, our market manager, and Zach Yoder, who's the culinary garden manager for the restaurant at Meadowood and the Charter Oak. And in addition to talking about his job, Zach is going to tell us all about a fabulous lecture that he's going to be presenting at the market tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. So as this is our first show, we wanted to share some information on the market. This is our 32nd season. That's a long time. The market runs every Friday, May through October, 7:30 to noon, rain or shine. It's based at Crane Park, and for those of you that haven't been to the market, that's on the west side of the high school. As you come into town, you'll see our fabulous tractor sign boards with the arrows, and it's a beautiful location surrounded by vineyards. So we are a community-based certified farmers market offering the finest fresh produce, specialty foods, and beautiful handcrafted artisan goods. We're also very proud that we are one of a very small number of farmers markets that have been given a 501c3 nonprofit status due to the exceptional educational programs we provide. And then last year, we extended our programs to include environmental awareness under the umbrella of Make Every Day Earth Day, and we introduced a reusable bag swap program. So don't forget, while you're at the market, you can watch the locals playing bocce and tennis. You can take the kids to play at the skate park, the volleyball court, or the children's playground, and sit and have breakfast or a cup of coffee or lunch at the tables under the redwood trees. So come and join us and make a morning of it. We are very blessed that we have a number of schools close to us, and we just love having students from the local schools visit the market. Heartwarming to see them chatting to the growers and learning about the produce. And for a double dose of cuteness, come and see us for Kids Story Time, which is twice a month. So we are incredibly grateful for all the support we get from our wonderful vendors, from the community, our loyal shoppers who are there every week, from the schools, the city, the Chamber of Commerce, and above all, to our very generous donors and sponsors. So that's a little bit about the St. Helena Farmers Market. I'm going to switch now, and we're going to go and talk to Laddie, who together with your husband, Ted Laddie, you own the beautiful Long Meadow Ranch. And Laddie has been involved with the market for 31 years, so she knows all about it. So Laddie, let me ask you, how did the market begin?
The market began with some community interest in getting fresh produce. Sheila Mannix actually was the original manager, founder of the St. Helena Farmers Market. It was first set up on a parking lot behind what was the Dansk outlet, which is directly across Highway 29 from Maryvale Winery. It had moved to a couple of other locations afterwards, and now we're currently in Crane Park, which is just behind the high school. And as Wendy has said, it's a wonderful location because of the park facility, fun place for families to come and something for the children to do other than eat strawberries or kettle corn. They've got a wonderful park there that the kids can have fun and play.
And Laddie, how did you get involved?
Early on, we bought Long Meadow Ranch in 1989, and one of our first interests was setting up our own family garden. As you might expect, the family garden ended up growing more produce than the family could possibly consume. We were happily sharing it with friends and some other neighbors. But as children tend to want to do, they are always interested in figuring out a way to earn some money, hence many lemonade stands that you see around. So I proposed to them that maybe we should go visit the farmer's market and maybe talk to the market manager, and would they be interested in having the children come and sell the produce from the market? The boys thought that was an excellent idea, and because the garden was something that they were very much involved with, and we talked to the market manager, and she was Sheila was very supportive. She said, absolutely, they can come to the market because they are our future farmers. I want to support that. That would be wonderful. And so the task began to check out what they needed to bring to the farmer's market, a table, an umbrella for shade, how to carry their vegetables to market, how were they going to sell them, did they need a scale, did they sell them by the basket, by the bag, by the each. So we had a great time. So what started with me at the farmer's market was actually I was their chauffeur because they were far too young to be able to drive to market. And once we pulled the truck into market, I was stranded. I had to stay around and let them work out of the back of the truck.
Laddie, thank you. So tell us about the ranch because it's a wonderful setup and everybody would love to hear.
Long Meadow Ranch is up in the western hills above Rutherford in St. Helena. Beautiful property. We grow great vegetables up there, certified organic, but we also have acres of wine grapes. We make wine. In the process of expanding the ranch, we discovered that we also had olive trees planted on the property that we were not aware of. They had been, we've since determined they had been abandoned during Prohibition, and the forest grew up. And we found hundreds, thousands of trees. And so we decided that we were not knowing anything about olives, but it was obviously a commercial crop. And it was the very beginning of the olive oil industry kind of making a resurgence in the state of California. So we took the forest down, improved the trees, major pruning, haircut, irrigation, amendments, and those trees have come back into production. We also introduced cattle to the ranch, along with our other livestock, which we've always had chickens. That was one of the 4-H projects from one of the children. We always had chickens and then eggs to sell at the farmer's market. Having the cattle was another wonderful addition to our 5-ring circus. And
so, Laddie, this is a lot of chickens and a lot of cattle. Can you just give us some numbers? It'll help everybody.
We probably have 300 plus chickens now, not back then. We have in the vicinity of approximately 300 plus head of cattle. We're trying to always grow that, but it's a slow process. The beef, now its main outlet is our own restaurant we opened 8 years ago, Farmstead Restaurant, which is in St. Helena. And Farmstead uses exclusively Long Meadow Ranch beef. We raise a breed called Highland. They're originally from Scotland, and they're all grass-fed as well as grass-finished. They're tasty, tender, and healthy beef. We've since added sheep, so we have lamb as well. And besides the restaurant, I also have that now retail at the farmer's market, both beef and lamb.
So this is a very big setup, Laddie. Gosh, compared to the old days. So obviously you've got wonderful produce. You've got a whole range of animals, some of whom are out in near Point Reyes, out on grazing out there. And obviously other sort of preserves and things that you're selling at your shop. So we're going to come back to Laddie a little later in the show to discuss the logistics of being a vendor at the market, because Laddie is not only at our market, she's also at the Napa market on Tuesday and Saturday.
Correct.
So, but for those of you that come and visit Laddie at the market, you'll see the Long Meadow Ranch. It's a wonderful booth, and Laddie has her wonderful photos of the cattle. So we're going to take a commercial break now and come back to you. So you are listening to Napa's KVON 1440 AM radio on your radio, or you can stream it live on kvon.com. And this is the Farmers Fresh Show, sponsored by American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture. Again, this is Wendy Strawn, Board President for the St. Helena Farmers Market, and our guests this morning are Laddie Hall from Long Meadow Ranch. Laddie is a longtime board member and vendor, Ed Smith, our market manager, and Zach Yoda, who is the culinary garden manager for the wonderful restaurant at Meadowood and the Charter Oak in St. Helena. So the market is overseen by a very hardworking and loyal volunteer board. And then we have a great team at the market of Ed Smith, our market manager, Arwen Gallenkamp, who's the market educator, and our trusty assistants, Pedro, Temo, and Nelson, who really make everything work. So I'm going to put Ed now onto the under the spotlight. And Ed, our market manager, he transforms this empty car park at Crane Park into a bustling, seamless farmer's market by 7:30 a.m. every Friday. And thank goodness he has a wonderful dose of humor and patience. So, Ed, tell us about your history with the market.
Well, I started the market. Actually, Laddie and I think we joined the board of directors about the same time. I've been involved, I think, for about 25 years. And I was always at the market setting up. So when I started managing, I really can't tell you how long I've been managing because it's just kind of a process. Lasse Skinner was the manager when I first started the board of directors. And then there was another gal, Karen Schupert. And they kind of set up, transformed the area that we're in right now. And I just put in my two cents and made it what it is today. So based on what they did, it's just created a great area for the vendors, and it's a beautiful area.
I think Ed is being very modest. I'm going to embarrass him by telling him he's much loved not only by the vendors, by all of us, but also the shoppers. So Ed, you have to do this incredible game of chess with all these vendors. We average about 50 vendors a week. So
45 to 50.
Yeah, so give us an idea of the breakdown of the vendors.
Well, I try to keep it 30%, 33% growers, 33% food vendors, and then 33% artisans. That always changes because of the way the growing season is. Sometimes there's more growers, sometimes there's less. So I just fill in with food vendors and artisans. And it works out pretty well. Most of my busy time of the year is before the market starts in March and in April, because then I have to deal with the ag department with the growers and the food, the health department with the food vendors. And it's quite the process. And
then, I was I'm a real city slicker. I lived in Chicago for many years. And since I moved to St. Helena about 10 years ago, I have a very healthy regard for exactly what the growers have to contend with. Because it's, you don't know about when crops stop and start, and there are different things that happen every time. So we have obviously a proportion of the growers who have permanent produce the whole time, and others that specialize in certain crops that will come to an end, and they might come back
Correct.
A few weeks
Right.
later with something else. And we also have community groups. Do you want to talk about that
a
little
bit?
We do.
We have, there's quite a few different community groups that, come to the market. We have the Jameson Animal Rescue that comes to the market, and they bring different animals that need to be adopted. We have, there's just so many that contact me that want to come in. So if you're a 501c3 and benefits the Valley, give me a call and we can set up a table so you can hand out some information.
And we have to do a special shout out for the mayor, Alan Gilbreth, who's there
every week
with various members of his team and the staff. And perhaps one of the most fun things we've had recently were the music students from Pacific Union Elementary up in Angwin. They were a huge hit. They've now performed twice at the market under the redwood trees, and it's
the whole class comes down.
The whole class comes.
It's quite a thrill.
And just as a reminder to our listeners here, They can bring their knives and their garden tools for sharpening by the Perfect Edge. And they're there, the first and the third markets,
right,
aren't
Perfect
they?
Edge has been coming to our market for quite a few years, and they do a great job. And they're always busy when they come. But you can come in, drop your knives off at the beginning of the market, go and do your shopping, and then pick them up on the way out. And it works really well.
And they're really good.
Yes.
Lethal afterwards. So you yes. mentioned, obviously, we have our wonderful website, St. Helena Farmers Market. org, and anybody that is interested in becoming a vendor, if you go on the vendor section, you'll see all the application forms, information on insurance, the fees, and how to get hold of Ed. So let's talk about the logistics. There you are. You have this empty farmers, you know, crane park, this empty
right.
car park.
Well, I start about 4:30 in the morning. I put yes. out all the signs first, and then I get to the market and set up all the space locations for the vendors. At the beginning, at the first part of the market, I have a list of the vendors that are at the market that particular day and with a space number. So when the vendors get there, they can see where they're supposed to park. It's always a challenge because we're kind of limited with space. And I help them park, which is always interesting. The angles and, you know, all that.
You're excellent at that, Ed.
No, thank you. It's quite the show in the morning. But we always have a good time. It's fun. I try to make it a good place to, you know, to come in the morning and be happy. And that just goes through the whole day. For the vendors
yes.
helping the customers.
I think Laddie and I certainly endorse that. It's fun. So, are there any particular challenges of running a market apart from obviously the turntable of vendors?
Actually, I think the most challenging is to get the vendors to the market. But being St. Helena, I've always and I still have vendors calling me throughout the year to want to start. So I always have a new variety of vendors coming in the middle of the market, middle of the season. I wish there was more small growers. I'd like to have more small growers at the market. But it just works
yes.
out. It's been doing it for so long, it just seems like it's a routine.
It is seamless.
Me.
It yes. is seamless. And for us on the opposite, at the other end, it is seamless when we get there, which is super. And, I just had a mental block. I've forgotten what I was going to say. So let's move on. At the end of the market, obviously many of the growers, rather like in this case, both Laddie and Zach, have restaurants that produce can now be given to.
Yes.
But for those that are perhaps the smaller growers and they have produce left over, there's some arrangement with the local food bank.
Yeah, we have a food bank that actually comes in and sets out boxes for, you know, produce that that vendors didn't sell that day. And that goes to our local food bank. Laddie has chickens to feed. So there's different vendors give quite a bit. To the food bank, and other ones have different outlets for it. So,
I think that's a very nice arrangement. It's a win-win
yes.
for everybody.
And thank you to the food bank for coming
yes.
and doing that because
yes.
it's very important for St. Helena.
So I think what people don't realize that there's, rightly so, a lot of legislation around farmers markets, which I'm sure makes your life a little complicated.
Well, there has been. There's always a small farm conference that goes on usually in February, March, and they have a farmers market section for the conference, and farmers market managers from all over the state get together and discuss the new legislation that come in and go out and that type of stuff. So we're usually at the beginning of February
yeah.
is when the new legislation comes, and it can be challenging, but it's worked. You just make it work.
So a question for both Laddie and Ed. You must have seen farmers markets evolve over all these years. Are there any particular trends that you've noticed, for better or for worse?
Not particularly trends. I'm glad to see that when our market first started, there was maybe 30 or 40 in the state, and now I believe there's over 600 farmers markets in the state. So it's a great outlet for small growers and bigger growers to be able to talk to their the customers, and the customer be able to talk to the people that grow their food. It's always a good thing.
Now, some of the paperwork that the customer might not be aware of that a grower has to have to be at the market is actually grower certificate, and it goes through your local county ag commissioner, and the growers have to submit what they're growing, how much of it they're growing, how much they think they're going to harvest from that, et cetera, et cetera. And then
you have to make a plot map too, don't you, of what you're growing?
Yes, but then you now also, the ag commissioner's office actually comes and visits your location and verifies that obviously you don't have everything planted when they arrive, but they, you know, are able to check to see that you really are growing what you say you're growing. And then they come through the market on sort of unannounced times, looking at what's on your table and then asking to see your certification papers. And they will do a double check to see that you haven't brought something that you're not growing. I mean, there's some of that double checking so that the vendor has actually got the proper product that they say. They didn't go out to a wholesale outlet or whatever and pick up a big load of melons or corn or whatever and then come and are reselling it.
I think we're pretty lucky here in the Napa Valley.
Yes.
I mean, the ag department is great. They work with us really well. But It's a concern. The growers have to be certified, so they have to be selling what they're growing, and that's very important.
And I think it's very important to the integrity of the
right.
whole of
exactly.
the whole thing. Thank you both very much. So this year, Ed, we introduced a very special project with our EBT match.
Oh yeah, the EBT. Actually, we have we're able to get a grant from the city of St. Helena, and we match. The EBT comes in, and we market match what they, if they give us EBT for $20, we actually match that, and so they have $40 to spend at the market, and it just doubles their buying power, which is great.
So these are for people that are part of the
SNAP
or the CalFresh program,
correct.
And they can now, which is super, because we want everybody to be at the market and to enjoy it. So one aspect is EBT, and we also accept the WIC checks, don't
WIC
we?
WIC is the women, children, and I forget what WIC
infants.
Actually stands.
Women, infants, children.
Right.
Yeah.
And we accept those checks also.
And also,
or the growers do.
That's right. And also for the WIC's senior nutrition program as
right.
well.
Uh-huh.
So in a couple of weeks, we have Jenny Ocon, who's the executive director for the Up Valley Family Center. She's going to be on the show. So she's going to talk about these programs in more detail because
that'd
it's
be
really important to us.
Right.
We're seeing more and more people come every market, and the more the merrier. So before I let you off the hook, Ed, do you have any funny stories that we can share live or you're prepared to
I
put
would
out
rather
there?
Not. There's so
You'd
many funny
not.
Stories. I mean, I do a lot of laughing at the market, and it seems to go through the market. It's just a happy place to be. Come
and
down and make your own memories.
It's it is, thing. Too. And if we ask Ed nicely every so often, he might bring us a drink every
yes.
so often.
So
we have certain weeks.
While,
yes, he'll wheel the cart round and off we go.
The vendors are always happy when that
makes
cart
the morning
comes
go the swing.
Right.
Thank you very much, Ed. I'm going to talk just for 1 minute about a very important vendor, and that is the Marcus Own General Store. You'll find me there with our wonderful volunteer Ada Press. And we act as a mini information booth. We're like a mini tourist office. I seem to be answering questions to the tourists all day long for all the visitors. And we sell fabulous merchandise. And this will include the merchandise with the tractor logo done by local artist Jeff Ellsworth, the winning artwork from our annual art competition. And we'll talk about this a little bit, the competition a little bit later, as well as our Make Everyday Earth Day. But it's a fun store. All the funds go into the kids programs, and you'll see all of the artwork from the 94 students displayed at the general store.
That's a really great community bonding effort that you do. And
it's fun.
Great.
We have a lot of fun. A lot of fun to see the kids. Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a break now. We're going to go to commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Laddie about the logistics of actually getting ready for a market from a grower's perspective. So we're back, and you're listening to the Farmers Fresh Show featuring the St. Helena Farmers Market on Napa's KVON 1440 AM radio. And a very big thank you to our sponsor, American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture. My name is Wendy Strawn. I'm president of the board for the St. Helena Farmers Market, and we have with us very special guest, Laddie Hall from Long Meadow Ranch, board member and vendor, Ed Smith, our market manager, and Zach Yoda, who we're about to get going here in just a second, Culinary Garden Manager for the restaurant at Meadowood and the Charter Oak. But let's just go back to Laddie, if we may, just for a few minutes, because in addition to your role as board member, and Laddie is perfect for us on the board, she's there very much to remind us that the priority at the end of the day are the growers, and that's what a farmer's market is all about. But in addition to your role as a board member, you're also a key vendor at the market. So tell us about the logistics. How do you get ready for these markets?
There's always a challenge getting ready for market. Harvesting is obviously the biggest challenge. As we get into the warmer months, the opportunity to harvest vegetables and keep them fresh becomes a bigger and bigger challenge. We have been coming to the St. Helena Market on Friday for 30-plus years, as we've already shared, and the harvest for Friday's market is always done the day before. Because of our proximity where our gardens are located, we're very closely located to the market itself, and occasionally we'll forget something and we can run back and get it.
That's a big benefit.
Yeah,
it's been a benefit, yes.
Especially if it's like the scale or
something important. Get the
right?
money.
During the corn season, it's wonderful because we'll harvest corn first light of Friday morning, and then it will actually get delivered to us at market. So the corn is so super fresh. That's really delightful. We added the Tuesday Napa market to the schedule 5-6 years ago, and we now harvest also on Mondays, big harvest on Mondays. But to remind everybody, we also now have Farmstead restaurants, so we're growing quite a bit for the restaurant. It's not just focused on farmers market any longer. So a big harvest is happening on Monday, not only for the farmers market, but also just to begin the week at Farmstead restaurant. The Saturday market is also interesting because the Napa market, it's become a very popular weekend market, and quite a lot of customers are there. And it's always a challenge, to figure out how much to harvest. I mean, you certainly are harvesting as things are the right size, the right ripeness, et cetera. But how much do you actually take? Because all those hours sitting out in the heat, not necessarily the sun. We've got wonderful shade protection with our tents, but all of that really starts to wilt the product, and it's not as desirable at the end of the towards the end of the market time. So that's the paperwork is another issue, but actually getting ready and coming to market and getting things bundled, and we have a very strict system but we weigh items so that we know how much is coming and how much comes back. There's a lot of record keeping to understand what our production level actually has been.
So, Laddie, we've talked about produce, we've talked about the animals, and I'm going to come back and talk to you about your chickens in just a second. But just to let everybody know, at the market, you also have your wine, you have oils.
We have wine, olive oil, beef jerky, meat cuts, the grass-fed beef as well as the grass-fed lamb. We have preserved jams and jellies, which is additional product from the garden. We've been able to take the extra and make a product out of it to sell, sometimes tomato sauce. And then certainly all the fresh fruits and vegetables that come out during the season, and eggs from the chickens. We do not raise poultry for meat. We raise poultry for eggs.
So let's talk about these chickens, Laddie. One of the questions I get asked every week is, when are we going to have eggs at the market? I think there's been a delay generally.
We started with a fresh flock this year, and what a lot of customers have obviously not understood is that it's pretty amazing, the life of a chicken. you know, an egg gets
That's
laid.
That's another story.
How long do we want to talk about
chicken? Yeah. I find it fascinating that, you know, the chicken lays an egg, and if it's fertile, it, you know, gets hatched, that's only 21 days before you get a baby chick, which is pretty amazing. And then that baby chick, if it's female, will become a laying hen, and that takes approximately 5 months, which I think still is a very short period of time. But for the customer that wants eggs, and when we don't have any eggs for sale, it's terribly long time. So then these chickens begin to lay their eggs, and they begin as very small eggs, what's called pullet eggs. And then, you know, you size them, actually. You have to weigh them. And according to the size, and according to their weight is what the size is called. You have to label it all properly. That's a whole nother regulation to deal with. But right now they're pullet eggs, and they're smaller than small. And, you know, you could eat half a dozen really easily, and not even they're bigger than quail eggs, but smaller than small chicken eggs. So right now the customers don't understand when they walk up to the table why I don't have a dozen large eggs for them. I'm going, the chickens are just laying. They are pullets, and they will eventually get there. They'll get large, but right now they are just smaller than small.
So has somebody here who has consumed vast quantities of your lovely eggs, Laddie, not only do they taste great, but the colors are just magnificent, just visually to look at them. They're just lovely. So we can now tell everybody that eggs are on their way.
Eggs have started to arrive at the Long Meadow Ranch market. Yes, Long Meadow Ranch stand.
One last question for you, because we're going to talk to Zach in just a second. But in your particular case, you were growing produce first, and then the wonderful Farmstead restaurant fell in your lap. So how did that start at the beginning?
Farmstead didn't really fall in our lap.
Yeah, I was going to say, Ted wouldn't agree with that at all.
No,
there was a lot of work to do.
Yes, we were originally growing produce. Then we added, at the same time as growing produce, we were growing wine grapes began making wine. But then we added olive oil, and then we added cattle. So all that has been added. During that time, short of going to farmers market, I was walking in the back door of many restaurants with abundance of something. You know, I've got figs, or we've had great success on celery starts, and wouldn't these be delightful cutting greens in your salad for a little celery flavor? And Farmstead came into existence about 2010. And we viewed it, the property location, as an opportunity to really demonstrate our belief in diversity as a healthy way of agriculture within Napa County. And it gave us an opportunity to introduce our wines. The winery itself is pretty remotely located. It's not attractive to have a lot of people coming up that road or coming down that road. Pretty scary. And so we have an opportunity with the general store at the site to be able to introduce wine and olive oil. And then Farmstead, the goal is using all our product. And the team there has been amazingly talented, creating a fabulous menu and fabulous dishes.
Super. And it's a huge hit. For those of you that have not been to Farmstead, get on over there. It's absolutely super. It's a beautiful operation. Thank you.
And come often.
And come often. Okay. Laddie, thank you very much. So, everybody, you have to come to the market to visit Laddie and her wonderful booth there at Long Meadow Ranch. It is a sight for sore eyes, apart from having delicious stuff. Okay, Zach has been sitting very patiently here. Zach Yoder, who is telling us yesterday you're born in Napa. You are a local.
I am a local.
And has a very unique position as culinary garden manager. So perhaps, Zach, we could start off talking. Why don't we just, we went to visit Zach at the farm yesterday, and it was absolutely super. Perhaps we start just by describing the facilities and then we'll go on to talk about your role.
Sure. Yeah. So our garden is about 2.5 acres. We share a property. Well, the property is owned by the St. Helena Montessori School, with which mm-hmm. we have a really great relationship. Our portion of it is about 2.5 acres, as I said, that we grow on. And we kind of have a separate operation, but sort of a cohesive operation with the Montessori School. And we grow everything that we provide for our outlets there. And we grow for, as you said, the restaurant at Meadowood, the Charter Oak, and then for other outlets at Meadowood as well.
So I'm sure a question that everybody asks you all the time, how does it work? Who dictates what? Because you can't suddenly produce a new vegetable overnight if Christopher Costa wants something unique. So how does it work?
How long do we have? No, it's we're really lucky. I feel like we have a very unique situation as a farm to have a direct relationship with restaurants and with kitchens. As you were talking with Vladdy about, having the farm and then having the restaurant come after. I mean, we kind of were the other way around. Mm-hmm. The restaurant was there and Chef Costa was there, and then they developed a garden, and I think, giving a chef access to being able to grow their own produce is very attractive. And as time has gone on, it's kind of evolved into sort of a, quote unquote, more professional operation. But we're really lucky to have that direct relationship because it allows us to do a lot of creativity on our end, and at the same time, a lot of the things that we're able to grow, it wouldn't mean as much if we didn't have the talent of the kitchens to be able to turn it into something that was delicious. So that sort of interplay between what we're able to do and what they're able to do is really where you get unique products and unique opportunities in terms of growing.
So I think you were telling us yesterday that you will produce some type of crop calendar so that the chefs know upfront what you anticipate growing.
Correct. Yeah. So, I mean, as any grower, you need to plan months and months in advance. As with any organic operation, you have crop rotation, cover cropping, all these sorts of things that you need to know what's happening with your space month after month after month. Right now I just finished finalizing my plan for winter. So I'm, at least 6 months ahead in terms of planning because, certain crops that are going to mature in the middle of winter need to go in the ground now and vice versa. Same thing with summer crops. They need to be seeded, in late winter. So it's always thinking ahead. And so it's a lot of communication with the outlets, with the restaurants, with the chefs about, what worked last year? What are we interested in? And it works a little bit of both ways. Sometimes I'll say, hey, what about this? And then sometimes chef will come to me and say, hey, what about this? And so, sometimes my ideas will be realistic or unrealistic and the other way around as well. And so it's that sort of interplay and that process that I feel like is what's really, really unique for us.
And are there any particularly unusual plants that you've grown?
We try. But I mean, like I said, that's what makes us lucky is that we're encouraged to experiment not only with different types of crops, but also with different ways of growing things. And so, I'm always, looking through seed catalogs or like I said, able to be creative with different ideas. And it's fun because it's a process. I'll see something and want to grow it, and we're able to, trial things 1 year. Grow a little bit of something and let them kind of play around with it and explore it, and then you kind of learn for the next year. And that sort of process is, not always as quick as a kitchen or as a chef would want it to be. But that's how you learn, and that's how you get something that's sort of consistent. Because at the same time as we're encouraged to sort of experiment, we also have to be, constantly creating a product in a quantity that is relevant to a kitchen that's, doing covers over after cover every night. So
because you're talking about the restaurant at Meadowood,
correct?
The Charter Oak, which is a beautiful restaurant, and you're also providing produce for the grill at Meadowood,
mm-hmm.
and then of course all the catering side as well.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. Yes. Yeah, so it's. Yeah, so it's a lot of different people have their hands in the garden, but we're and that's, you know, that's honestly the biggest challenge,
yes.
that we face is that sort of diversity of outlets. But we're also very, I mean, as a farmer, I have to kind of stop myself and remember how lucky that is to have people who are always going to want the product and that
yes.
we have that direct connection with. And that's kind of why I say we are lucky, because to have that gives you a certain amount of freedom as a farmer that you always have an outlet for what you're going to grow. And so it kind of opens up that space for me to say, well, I don't worry as much about, you know, the profitability of every square foot. You know, I'm thinking more about the kitchens and the menus and the chefs and that creativity. And that's a really lucky position to be in, I feel like.
And it's a very unique, sorry, Ed.
Yeah, is there certain crops that you grow every year? And Laddie could tune in on this too. I'm sure squash, there's a great need for squash. And tomatoes, when they're out, you can use as much as you can get, obviously, at the restaurants. Is that right?
Right. I mean, yeah. Obviously, there's, you know, everybody who doesn't like tomatoes, who doesn't like squash. So there are certain things that we can definitely count on. But again, I think you get back to that's what makes it a little bit unique in the sense that I don't really think about the marketability of the things that we're going to grow as much as I do sort of how it's going to get used on the menu. And
is there more crops that grow better? We have to go to a break real quick. But more crops that grow better in this climate, like the grapes grow.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, and that's part of the evolution of the garden is kind of learning what works well on your site.
Mm-hmm.
So, Zach, I remember from your lecture last year at the market, one thing that really resonated is that as domestic-type chefs, we tend to get a plant and we cut things off and we just use a certain part of it. And you were being very ingenious last year at making sure you use everything, and why throw half the plant away? So talking about lectures, Zach, is, as I mentioned, going to be back at our lecture table tomorrow at 10:30. And you're going to be talking about year-round bounty, gardening beyond the summer favorites. And I must admit, I say that with tongue in cheek, because I was thinking the other day, I just seem to grow the same things every year. So tell us a little bit about, so I will be perfect audience for your lecture tomorrow. Tell us about the lecture.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. It's not really meant to sort of berate those who love tomatoes. I love tomatoes myself. But that's, I think it's just a unique perspective that we have that, you know, talking about the climate that we have here, not to mention our microclimate in our garden, but we're really lucky in the sense that we do have, you know, somewhat of a seasonality to it. And when our garden work with such talented chefs, we're not really encouraged to sort of grow the same thing, you know, throughout the year. It's not as if somebody's going to be asking me for a tomato in January because, you know, the people that we work with understand that, you know, to create the best product, you sort of take what you're given and work with it. You know, that a tomato is going to taste best with the heat of summer, you know, and a turnip is going to taste the sweetest when you grow that in winter and allow that cold to sort of sweeten it up. And sort of thinking like that and sort in terms of thinking within the season and saying what's going to taste best within that season, and kind of working with the weather is really what we're encouraged to do. And I think that's, you know, maybe a lot harder when it's raining outside and when
yes.
it's frosty in the morning, but really just sort of thinking in those terms is really what I'm getting at.
Thank you, Zach. So everybody, 10:30 tomorrow morning, our summer lecture series is part of our educational programs. And we have to say thank you to MIV Insurance Services in St. Helena, who are a sponsor of the lectures. So, Zach, we have to say a big thank you to you. We
thank
have
you.
To say a very big thank you to Meadowood Napa Valley, who have been a long-standing sponsor of the Farmers Market, to Christopher Costo and Chef Cat, who have been at the market on many occasions and also when we do our Cinema Bites fundraisers. So we are
meals,
extremely
yes.
grateful to everybody. And for those of you listening, please make a note on August 24th. We have a chef's demo from John Ong from the restaurant at Meadowood. And on September 28th, we'll be welcoming Chef Kat from the Charter Oak back to the chef's table. Both of these are at 10:30. And for those of you that get the Food and Wine magazine, you'll have opened it up this month and seen that wonderful photo of Chef Kat, because she was voted Food and Wine, one of the Food and Wine best new chefs in the July edition. Okay, we're coming close to the end of our hour. We're going to take a quick commercial break.
A community and a job. Employer support of the Garden Reserve, a Department of Defense agency, honors and protects the bond between service members and their civilian employers. Whether serving our country or supporting those who do, we all serve. To learn more about ESGR, call 1-800-336-4590 or visit esgr.mil.
July 26th with host and board member Kelly Foster. As I mentioned, Jenny Ocon, who's the executive director for the Up Valley Family Centers, will be here. And we have two other special surprise guests, which we're going to keep up our sleeve. So before we sign off, does anybody have any last?
I think just come to the market. We have all kind of great vendors, food vendors. The growers, obviously, are the main focus on the market. We have Triple T Ranch. They've been there for quite a few years. And DeVoto Gardens for flowers. Garden at Good Hummus. They're great with flowers. And they also have stone fruit. And the stone fruit's coming out really well, really nice. So very, very good. So we got a lot of local Q barbecue, Woodhouse barbecue. Mm. Santa Rosa Seafood is a very popular. They always have really good seafoods. And their smoked salmon is just unbelievable. So a lot of great vendors.
It's a fun market. So yes, come and visit us. And I have a couple of minutes. So I'm just going to do a shout out for the schools, because every year we do an art competition with grade 3 to 5 students from the St. Helena schools. This year we had 94 students participate, and they were asked to create original artwork to support the slogan of Got Veggies, and to answer questions all related to healthy eating. And they did a fantastic job. So you will see all of their artwork on display at the market. The winner this year was a grade 3 student, Cosette from St. Helena Elementary School. And she did this wonderful rabbit, which you have to come and have a look at. You're going to like this sack. You can see it tomorrow. And we have it on all sorts of different merchandise. But a big thank you to the schools. This is a very big logistical exercise that we start in January. And we're just looking for something to involve the kids, involve the market in the community, and to give some promotion to the market. It's the biggest kick to get a photo of perhaps a tourist from Australia sending us a photo of him wearing one of our caps on the Sydney Bridge or whatever. So lots of fun. So this was another Farmers Fresh Hour. Thanks to American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture, and thank you to our guests. And we'll see you again in 2 weeks.